turn to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8 is a very unique chapter. It's quite long because it contains a lot of important teaching of the Lord. And it tells how the storm was calmed, how the demons were cast out, how the issue of blood was healed, and how a daughter was raised. So there's a lot of good things in Luke chapter 8. But we'll read just verse 40. One verse. Verse 40. Can you read together, please? And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. Praise God. And I would hope that describes us today. We're waiting for him. Praise God. And we'll gladly receive him when he returns. Amen. In Jesus' name. You may be seated. Now, in the natural order of things, I'm sure there are many instances and experiences that you were glad to receive what you were waiting for. We got back to Anchorage, about 7:30-ish, somewhere in that range, and our flight to Kenai was at 9:45, so we sat around waiting for that, and then they canceled that flight because of freezing rain down in this area. And so we tried to get a hotel room, but there was no room in the inn because of the damage to homes and so on in Anchorage, and a number of them had gone to hotels. And Sister Glover did not want me to call the hotels downtown because she didn't want to be on the 12th floor or whatever when the aftershocks were hitting. While we were, and so Brother Mike ended up driving up, and we're sitting there waiting for him to come from Sterling to pick us up, and we experienced 5 aftershocks there in the airport. I don't know why they call them aftershocks. They felt like earthquakes to me. And in fact, one of the ladies checked her phone and said that last one was 5.3. So that was an earthquake. And those big windows, you know, the big windows in the Anchorage airport vibrating back and forth like that. The decorations and the lights swinging. Some of the panels from the ceiling falling down. And yeah, that's an earthquake in my opinion. But Brother Mike got there about 12:30, and we got home at about 3:30, so thank the Lord. Amen. And we had time to wait, but in that wait, we looked forward to him coming. And then, as I said, you sit in a restaurant and wait for your order, and you wait with great anticipation for what is going to be soon on your table, on your plate, and the enjoyment that will come from that, especially if there's rice as a part of it. You wait for a package in the mail, whatever you sent for, Amazon Prime or whatever. And I remember we used to wait for our school clothes order, and my mom ordered from Sears, and a reversible coat. Oh, man, that was style. Because when the one side got dirty, you just turned it around and used the other side. The reversible coat. And that was pretty cool. The gifts that the kids are excited about, waiting under the tree. And, you know, just a whole bunch of things that are so fun to wait for. And then we gladly receive them. And obviously the parallel there. Receiving spiritually. Jesus said, ask, seek, and knock. Because they weren't actions of futility. They weren't just something to occupy the time while you're waiting. He said, ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened. Praise God. There's a connection that the Lord would make between those actions of ask, seek, knock, and then the giving and the finding and the opening that would be there as the Lord provided. Praise God. And the receiving. Thank God for the receiving that we have of him and his blessings. In John 1 and 12, the scripture says, as many as received him, they received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. I love that verse. Amen. And I know the modern translations render it, to them gave he the right to become. And thank the Lord, we have the right. But the power speaks something to me. Power to become. That's what he gives us. He doesn't leave us the way he found us. He doesn't cause us to digress or decrease in a place of our knowledge of him. He causes us, he gives us power to become. Not stay the same, power to become. As we believe on his name for healing. We believe on his name for salvation. We believe on his name for deliverance. Praise God. What a blessing as we receive from him. Now, the storm that I mentioned that was calmed, and how that they made their way to the shore and a man came running to worship the Lord. This was not an ordinary man. This was a man who had been tortured in his existence for months, if not years. His lunatic lifestyle caused him to dwell among the tombs in a cemetery, crying out, screaming, yelling, ripping his clothes, breaking the ropes that kept him bound, even chains that they had tried to tie him up with. Supernatural strength, superhuman strength that came from satanic and demonic powers, and the legion that possessed him that would bring changes to his life that were not positive changes. They were not good changes. They were not changes that you would welcome. Oh, the devil has a plan to change you. He sure does. He'll change you to depression. He'll change you to despair and unhappiness. The devil wants to change you for the worse, but I'm glad Jesus has a plan to change you for the better. Hallelujah. Amen. And so, believing on his name was something that this man was not able to do. Being aware of the salvation and deliverance of the name of the Lord was not something that he had experienced. The writer here, Luke in chapter 8, would mention Mary Magdalene, of whom were cast out seven devils. Amen. And Mark even mentions it when they come to the tomb and find that Jesus is resurrected. Mark is not trying to cast a shadow on Mary Magdalene. He is not trying to recall her her past as though to drag her down. He's simply trying to point out the power of the Lord will last. The power of the Lord brings a change that will not be changed. Praise God. The power of the Lord casts out demons that are not welcome back. Amen. And the power of God to bring about a change. Amen. This man did not know that. But as he stood in that cemetery area, and he looked out upon the waters of the lake, and he saw the storm, and he saw the boat that was experiencing the storm, and would go down in the trough of the wave and then come up again on the crest. And he would see it, and perhaps as it got closer, he could see the people scrambling about and trying to save their ship, trying to avoid sinking. And then all of a sudden, it's flat calm. He'd wipe his eyes and look again. How did that happen? What happened here anyway? And as the boat made its way to the shore, he ran down to see what was going on. And there Jesus was, and he fell down and worshiped him. Praise God. Oh, I'm thankful that the Lord has power to bring about a change in the storm. And even more so, he has power over satanic elements. He has power to bring a change in people's lives. Hallelujah. Those that would worship him, those that would desire his presence, those that would run to be able to be in the place where Jesus is, I'm glad that the Lord has a way. The Lord has power.
The Lord can make a difference. The Lord can bring peace. The Lord can bring strength. The Lord can bring a change that nothing else could produce. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so the demons would acknowledge the Lord and His power. The demons would understand who He is. The demons would even pray. Praise God. And the Bible uses the word, they besought Him. The demons did that twice. They besought Him. Praise God. And the Lord cast that legion out. Into the swine they went, over into the lake. Praise God. I'm glad there's a lake of fire. A lake of fire that awaits that demonic presence. Amen. And they'll never torment anyone again. Praise God. They themselves will be in the place of torment. But oh, thank God, the deliverance will continue forever as the Lord would provide His blessing and His power. Amen. Now, the crazy thing, at least in my thinking, is the devils besought Him twice, but the town besought Him. Not to invite Him to a banquet of honor, not to a parade of victory and deliverance, but they besought Him to leave. We don't want you here. If our pigs are going to be killed, I guess that's what they were concerned about. Their pigs being killed and floating around out in the lake, and they didn't like that. But the man, oh, I like to imagine that reunion. I like to imagine him going to his house. And they open the door and are so surprised, they're so thrilled that he's standing there. Because now the change is there. The change. He's clothed. He's in his right mind. He has been at the feet of Jesus. Praise God. And here he is now standing before his family that he had not been united with so long. And not been a part of for so long. Praise God. People that he recognized on the street. And they perhaps may have shied away from him to begin with. To remember how powerful the demons would make him. That he could break chains and ropes and scream and holler and carry on up in the cemetery. But God brought forth deliverance. The Lord made a change in his life. Hallelujah. Thank God for the blessings that the Lord would provide. In verse 39, he said he returned, or the Lord admonished him, return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. Amen. Did his own house gladly receive him? Oh, I can imagine. I can imagine the hugs and the tears. I can imagine the stares and the awareness of the miracle that the Lord had done. Praise God. And oh, the words from his mouth, the works of his hands, and the evidence that the Lord had brought about a tremendous change for him is incredible. Praise God. They gladly received him. I think about Lazarus coming forth out of that tomb. His sisters being concerned, you know, about death and decomposition and just the natural things in that arid climate that would have brought about unpleasant things. But roll the stone aside. Praise God. Lazarus, come forth. Loose him and let him go. Praise God. And oh, they did have a banquet. Praise God. They did. There are those who were trying to plot the death of Lazarus again. He just resurrected and are trying to make plans to kill him and to kill the Lord. And oh, thank God for the power of the Lord and the blessings that God would bring forth, that they would gladly, gladly receive him. Hallelujah. Amen. And then, just so many. Let me just quickly go through a list of some who gladly received the Lord. The Cana of Galilee and the wedding that Jesus and his mother and his disciples were a part of. And the Lord meeting the need of the hour. And Mary's advice, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Whatsoever. It doesn't matter. Whatever he says, do it. And fill those six pots with water and then draw out and bring to the master of the feast, the governor of the feast, and the exclamation about how good it tasted, and the comparison about, you know, you bring out the best at the start, and then when there's perhaps not much thirst and everyone's been satisfied, you bring out the lesser quality. But you save the best for last. Oh, I'm glad the Lord has the best all the time. All the time. The Lord has the best. Praise God. I'm thankful for the hand of the Lord. And if we could just follow Mary's advice, whatsoever he saith unto you. You know, it's good to let the Lord have his say. We seek counsel. We seek advice. We talk about situations that are legal to our lawyers. We talk about things of financial concerns to those who are experienced in the markets and investing and so on. We seek advice at different aspects in different ways. Let the Lord have his say. Whatsoever he saith, do it. Praise God. The nobleman who was so concerned about his son that he would make the trip, he would make the journey. It took him a while to get there. His son was sick at the point of death. He approached the Lord after his journey that was extensive. He said, "Sir, come down ere my child die." Jesus looked at him. Jesus did not take a step in his direction. Jesus did not inquire, "Okay, where you come from? We'll make our trip back as soon as we can." The Lord said, "Go thy way." Now, he was not dismissing him. He was not refusing him. He was not sending him away. He simply said, "Go thy way, thy son liveth." Not what the man expected. Not what he thought was going to be the outcome of his trip. He thought that they'd have to turn and reverse their direction and make the trip back as fast as they could, because death was knocking on the door and his son was about to die. "Go thy way, thy son liveth." He believed it. He received it. He turned and made his way back. And on his journey, his servants approached. And it could have been that he thought, "Oh no, they're bringing bad news." But no, he received the word of the Lord. He received what Jesus said, "Thy son liveth." Praise God. And when they got within hollering distance, I'm sure they began to let it be known, "Thy son liveth. Thy son liveth." Praise God. And when they compared notes, when they let it be known that at the hour that he began to heal, that he began to mend, that it was the same hour that the Lord had spoken to the man, "Thy son liveth." Oh, the rejoicing. Amen. The excitement. I'm sure they didn't care who was watching, what the comments were, what was going on. I think they had a praise break. I think they had a time of worship. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. And the nobleman believed, and his whole house, especially his son that was healed. Praise God. Oh, yes. They gladly received him. Now, Jesus breathed on his disciples after the resurrection and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." It was a type of the wind that was going to come upon them, and the Holy Ghost that was going to be poured out. "You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." He emphasized that. "Tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." He knew that they needed to receive. Praise God. So there they are, about 120 of them, waiting for about a week, and then they were made strong. Praise God. Because the Holy Ghost came. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Did they gladly receive? Oh, yeah. Amen. They gladly received, all of them, 120. And then there were more that gladly received. Acts 2 and 41, "They that gladly received his word were baptized." Praise God. And there was 3,000 of them. Oh, yeah. We're believing for the increase. We're working for the increase. We're trusting God for the increase. Amen. God's going to do it. God's going to bring it forth. God's going to provide. Hallelujah. We plant, we water. God gives the increase. Oh, yes. Keep believing it. Keep holding on for it. Keep trusting. Amen. Hallelujah. 11-year-old girl goes to the Sunday school in Norvik. She's probably in that room with 19 others when that one got the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Her mom and dad don't come. Her dad put some twine around his neck and tried to hang himself. The mother fortunately found him in time and cut him loose, but when he fell to the floor, he injured his back. He's laying on the floor, and they call the health aide. The health aide is Brother Wallace. Brother Wallace called his brother, Brother David. He said, "We need to pray." They gather at the man's house, and before they went in, they said, "We need to pray. There's spirits in there that we're going to confront. We need to pray." And they joined in prayer, and they went in. The man's on the floor. His back is hurt. He can't get up. They managed to get him into the bed, and they began to pray. They called upon Jesus. They believed the Lord. They waited for his touch. Praise God. And the Lord touched that man who had just hours before attempted to take his life. The injury in his back was healed. He jumped out of that bed. He started jumping up and down in his bedroom. He jumped up to touch the ceiling to prove to them that he was healed. Hallelujah. Oh, thank God. Our God does the work. Hallelujah. The power of the Lord is what he can do with those who gladly receive him. God can do the work that nothing else can do. No psychologist, no psychiatrist, no sociologist, no education. Thank God, the power of God is able to do the work that philosophy cannot do. Our God is able to move in the work as we wait upon him and gladly receive him, because that's the power he can reveal. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's clap our hands to the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. I don't, Brother Wallace being the village health aide, I don't know when he received the Holy Ghost, but I remember his brother David. We met in Brother David's home, one of the first trips that Brother Farmer was making, and he invited me along. And one-bedroom home downstairs, and then the upstairs being open. We called it the upper room, and we gathered in there for prayer. And I told about my mother visiting us in Ketchikan when we were starting the church there, and we were in our home in Ferry Chasm, and had a prayer meeting, and sat my mom in one of our kitchen chairs there in the living room, and began to pray with her. And she had her hands raised and quietly received the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Quietly continued serving God, because the Lord brought a change to her. She gladly received him. Amen. Before that, had been baptized in the precious name of Jesus, like the Bible teaches. Praise God. Amen. And the Lord did a work for her. So we had one of the chairs. We put a folding chair there in David's house. And I think he was the only one that needed the Holy Ghost at that point. So he came and sat in the chair. And we began to pray, began to worship the Lord, began to call upon the Lord. And he gladly received the Holy Ghost. Praise God. As we waited upon him. Hallelujah. And that's why God gave him power to meet with his brother outside that home of the man who had attempted suicide. And they went in and confronted the spirits that were there. And the Lord raised that man up. Hallelujah. Oh, that's the work my Jesus can do. That's the power my God can bring forth. That's the difference that the Lord can make. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Waiting for him to return. Praise God. Amen. That's where we are, looking for his return. Unto them, the Bible says, that look for him, shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Praise God. There are so many situations. I remember Alice, as we were praying in Venati, and we were at the community building, and the services were wonderful. The power of God was there, and all kinds of things going on to distract, but the Lord working and moving. Amen. And Alice wanted the Holy Ghost so bad, but she did not want to go against the teaching of her parents. And so she wouldn't come to pray. And three nights of service, and finally she just couldn't. You know, and I think that's why Jesus spoke in Luke 11 about, you fathers, you know how to give good gifts unto your children. And how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? There are those who struggle with that, struggle with tradition, struggle with, you know, believing and receiving from the Lord. But Alice, finally, the hunger in her heart brought her to the front. But standing there in the front, she had her eyes closed as hard as she can get them, and her lips pressed together to where there were just white lines. She wasn't gonna open up. She wasn't gonna receive. But she wanted desperately to have the Holy Ghost. And finally she could hold back no longer. And just burst out of her, speaking in tongues. The Spirit of God gave the utterance, a smile so big on her face as she received the Lord. Praise God. Oh, and she went around that community building with that big smile and a handshake for everybody. We had the Bible studies on video. Remember those Bible studies? She was passing them out. I think we had 15 copies. She got rid of all of them. She's passing them out to everybody. Here, you need this. Praise God. Oh, gladly receiving him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But, you know, the Lord said, occupy till I come. Till I come. That promise. He's coming. And then the occupy doesn't mean just taking up space. It doesn't mean just, you know, being in that spot. It means doing the Father's business. It means being busy for the kingdom of God, because he is going to appear to those that look for him. Amen. And thank God we can have others that we bring along to be ready for his return. 1 John 2:28, now little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. 1 John 3:2, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. How can we fathom that? How can we comprehend that? Where's the understanding? How can that change take place from mortal to immortality, from corruptible to incorruption? Praise God that, oh, when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. All of that power, all of that glory, all of that majesty. Praise God. Oh, yes, gladly receive him. Amen. And thank God for the power that he's able to demonstrate as we wait upon him. Amen. The power of his name in baptism. The power of his spirit. Thank God as we receive his presence into our lives, changed by his eternal power into eternal salvation. Thank God and the blessings of the Lord that come. They waited for him. They waited for the Messiah. They anticipated the coming of the Christ. And finally, here he is. Praise God. And then all that began to unfold in that Christmas story. And then later on in the Gospels, those that received healing, those that received deliverance, those that received truth. Amen. Those that received the dead restored to life. How incredible. But oh, we're waiting for him to come back. Amen. And we're going to stand in his presence. Stand with me now, please. When Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. Amen. Waiting for him, praise God, waiting for his return. You know, the possibility is that we hear that so often. We hear it so much. We read it in the scriptures, and we're knowledgeable of it. We know the trumpet is going to sound. We know the shout from heaven is going to be heard. We know the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. And the dead in Christ will rise first. And we which are alive and remain caught up with him. We know all of those details. But we can become so lackadaisical. We can become so, well, yeah, I've heard that. Yeah, I believe that. Yeah, I know it's going to happen. And we put it way off in the future somewhere. We put it in a place where it's going to happen. I know it's going to happen, but you know, I don't need to be too concerned about it right now. I don't need to be on my knees. I don't need to be fervent in spirit. And there's so many other things that I'm waiting for. So many other situations that I'm waiting to develop and unfold. And so, not that important. You know, that's certainly the way the devil would have us to react and to feel like it's down the road somewhere. It's another time. It's in the future. And then just to lull us into complacency where it doesn't matter. And I hope we can awaken ourselves. And like Paul wrote to the Romans, now it's high time to awake. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. Not just chronologically, not just the time that has passed, but from what has taken place in prophecy. For what we see happening almost day by day, and the fulfillment of the word of God. Amen. Now, time to awake. Praise God. Please come to pray today.